Are you ready for today's lesson?
Yes, Peter!
And listen to your teacher. Repeat after me. I won't grow up.
I won't grow up.
I don't want to go to school.
I don't want to go to school.
Just to learn to be a parrot.
Just to learn to be a parrot.
And recite a silly rule.
And recite a silly rule.
If you are Chris,
and you are Hank,
and we are my Mac guys. Just literally a couple of seconds before this broadcast started, Chris and I were in a heated debate over the topic of today's show, which is
kids in the Mac, or Mac kids.
Mac kids. And Chris made a very good point about, you know, part of the conversation today is about the use of vulgarity on our podcast, and obviously on many other podcasts that we're only talking about our podcast.
Right.
And, you know, it just is an interesting topic. I'm not going to go into detail about that at the moment. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show.
We can always cut back to the recorded debate we just had.
Exactly. Maybe we will cut some of that in.
And that is exactly what we plan to do as I present a condensed version of that very debate.
I think you're looking at it like as if somebody's making a decision.
I'm making the decision that the one show that I think should be clean,
because this show is for
because
kids
this
to
is the show
to?
That because this is the show that we would send to other people like parents and grandparents and say go listen to
you would not we
I understand I would I
you go to the webpage and look at 12 shows. I mean until there's like a text of what I think you should go listen to some more podcasts and see what's out there.
But finding out how conservative I am on air, and I admit it, I'm more conservative about this one show.
It's not the
Kids in the Mac. Kids in the Mac, who's listening to it? Kids?
Our listeners are listening to it. That's right. My point. Guys.
So we can't agree to have one. We can't agree to have our Kids Mac show be our Clean Mac show.
No, we can.
Okay.
I just think it's false. It's a false pretense.
Which is
I think it's false advertising.
Yes.
And I think it's a misconception of what podcasting is on some level.
I'm asking to make one show that attempts to be one G-rated episode of the Mac under the guise of Mac Kids. We have one G-rated show. It's not that hard to do.
The inference there is that the other seven shows are not G-rated, and I don't think that's the case.
This is the Jack show. This is the Maya show. There's no room for cursing in this show.
I agree.
As simple as that.
I agree.
I don't have any problem debating you at all.
I know.
But I don't know if I want to, and I don't know if it's interesting to anybody.
And now, back to our show, already in progress.
Chris and I both have children, and it's a fascinating process to watch them accustom themselves to computers. And I, for one, have been completely like floored at, I mean, you know, agog in watching my son's ability to comprehend and to navigate a computer at 3 years old.
Yes.
In a way that, I mean, I had the experience of, you know, of trying to teach my mom how to use email. First, we bought her a Net appliance. Did you remember?
Yeah,
remember
I
those
sure
things?
Remember those. Yeah.
An LCD screen that just literally plugged into a phone jack.
Right. Did they die? What happened to
they that? Completely died. Yeah.
Interesting.
And then the company that actually made that Net appliance was bought out by Earthlink. So she was, which didn't matter. They didn't, you know, and then I bought her a strawberry, you know, iMac, you know, the whatever that series was, the first iMac boxes.
Right.
Which she still has. But, you know, she's can't get through the process of buying something online. That's how scared she is of, like, doing that much navigation.
Whereas Jack would go online right now if you gave him an account and buy something, probably.
Well, I mean, if I can use more of our time, I'll tell, you know, my basic story is that part of hanging out with my son Jack, who's now almost three and a half, but sitting with him on my computer, pretty much since the first year of his life, and it, you know, started with me just doing everything, obviously, and then it migrated to him doing the click portion of what was going on. So if it was something, some kind of interaction, there's a lot of great educational websites out there, but if it involved a click, you know, he got that he could click the clicker,
right.
And then I would do the trackpad, right?
Right.
And then things progressed very rapidly because I saw him go in about 48 hours from not being able to use a trackpad to completely understanding a trackpad to the point where he knew how to slow his finger down.
Oh, to get the slow track,
to get
fast
the slow
track.
Track, fast track.
Yeah,
and
that's
like,
amazing.
And it took me a while. I still don't like trackpads.
Right.
I use a mouse ball. you know? And I go to a trackpad on my power book and I find it awkward. And
were you smacking his hand with a ruler, which I know helps to speed up the learning curve?
No, it's astounding. And Chris and I decided we both would have a little stories about our kids. And I mean, to cut to the end of that, you know, that idea, you know, Jack can now start up my computer, boot up on Internet Explorer, navigate to his websites, which are buried, you know, in a folder in the favorites column. Like, it goes Jack stuff, and then within the Jack stuff is my favorite websites, and within the my favorite websites are about 15 websites.
Right.
So we can navigate three levels down in the menus,
right,
and go through his websites. And then once he's at websites like Bob the Builder, he can completely navigate himself. He does not need any help from me whatsoever. Go to any game he wants, paint pictures, play sounds, video, and then quit all of them and shut down my computer. And I just sit there and watch. And he does it with confidence and with ease. And there is no question in my mind the power that this is going to have for him. He's 3.5 years old.
You know, it's funny because you said you have a surprise for me at some portion of this show, and I have a surprise for you, something you don't realize.
A live guest?
No, it's a counter to the whole kids and computer issue, which mm-hmm. is that, as you know, we went to a Waldorf school for all these years, and basically, Waldorf, part of their philosophy is no media, almost to the point of, you know, they won't even let you carry a lunchbox with Spider-Man on it, because that brings something into the workplace. And their issues, and you can read about this concept of imagery and the young mind, and that their counter to any input of multiple imagery to a young impressionable mind. And the reason it's a surprise to you is because even though I'm totally aware of how proud you are of his progress on the computer, I come from a household that would shy away from, and we did not let our kids use computers up until maybe 2 years ago. And Sierra's 13 and Maya's 10. And even though I had a computer, for the most part, it was off limits. And that's another debate, which I'm sure listeners out there are going to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, 3 years old on a computer may not be a great thing, even though he is savvy at it.
Well, I think with that said, it's a perfect time to go to see what Jack has to say about this.
Yeah, absolutely. Great segue. Love that.
So let's just hear a little interview I did with Jack and see how we feel about it. Jack, I'm going to ask you some questions. Now, first of all, I'm going to ask you 5 questions, okay? Number one is, what's your favorite thing to do on the computer?
Green eggs and ham.
Green eggs and ham. Okay. Number two is, how long have you been working on the computer?
Two times.
And the third question is, how did you learn to work on the computer? Sometimes you did it?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. And what other things do you like to do on the computer?
I like to find the internet, and I like to do all kinds of things.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the last question is, can you tell me how you go to the internet?
First I go here.
What do you do on the internet?
I do Alphabet Ball Game.
Alphabet Ball Game, okay. Well, thanks very much for answering the questions, okay?
Alphabet Book Game.
Alphabet Book Game.
I mean.
Okay. Thanks for answering the questions, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's what Jack has to say on the subject, and
it's just it's great.
Warms the cockles of my heart to hear his voice every time.
It's pretty sweet.
So, I know you had some, you want to talk a little bit about your experiences with your children and computers.
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, now, as I said, they just started using them more within the last year. They got their own computer for Christmas, and they're sharing it. They're using fast user switching, which is cool because they can both have their own desktops. And there's really something personal about what icons you choose and what's left on your desktop, and privacy too. They have passwords. You're not allowed onto my desktop unless I have a password. But what really amazed me is I was driving to school the other day with Maya, and I asked her a little bit about networking and about what happens when you have problems with the network. And with that said, I think I want to go to a little interview that I did with Maya completely off the cuff. She was a little nervous, and here that is. Okay, well, I'm sitting here with my daughter, Maya. And Maya, how old are you?
10.
She's 10 years old. And how long have you been using a Macintosh?
Let's see, all my life. And
so you've been using it for 10 years.
Well, since I've been using computers, I've always been had a Mac.
Well, the reason I'm having you on the show is because Henry and I are doing a Mac Kids special. And you are one of my interviews that I want to do. And this all started because we were driving to school the other day. And I asked you a question that I'm going to ask you again. If you cannot connect to the internet, can you describe for me the steps that you would take to reconnect to the wireless network?
Yes, I can. Well, first you go down to System Preferences, and then Network, and then you go down to Airport, then you go to TCP/IP, and then Renew DHS Lease. I don't know the letters, but I know what to do.
Right.
So
you renew the DHCP lease.
Yes.
And what do you notice happen when you renew the DHCP lease?
Well, at first it would be a 10, around 10, the number, and then it has
just a 10, or would there be some more numbers?
Like 10.01.
And did you know that that's called an IP address?
No,
I okay, didn't. All right. So that's so you know that when you see a 10, what does that mean?
It's bad and the airport is not working. Like
right. And then what happens after you renew the DHCP lease?
It goes to a 4.7 like seven or 6.
And then you can reconnect.
Yeah, and then it'll work.
All right. So I think that's pretty amazing that you have just started using a computer and you find it pretty easy to figure out how to go through and reconnect to the internet. And you said a lot of things, like you have no idea what TCP/IP is, but you know how to get there.
Yeah.
Okay. And before we wrap this up, are there any particular websites that you would either recommend to kids or websites that you prefer to go to?
Yes. Since I like to do games, miniclip.com.
Miniclip.com.
Yes.
And what do you like about that site?
There's this one game called Save the Sheriff, which is really good fun.
What's it called?
Save the Sheriff.
Okay, Save the
Sheriff. And Redbeard is good too.
So we have two recommendations. Those are like your share game picks of the week. Save the Sheriff.
Yes.
And Redbeard. Okay, well, thank you for coming on the show. Was it as hard as you thought it was going to be, or was it fun to do?
No, it was fun.
How old is she?
Maya's almost 11 years old.
Almost 11, wow.
And what I thought was amazing about it was is that maybe she didn't know what a DHCP lease was, but right. As she said, but I know how to get there and I know right. What to do about it.
Right.
And
well, I mean, do you know what a DHCP lease is? And if you do, I want you out of this room right now and this is going to become Hank's podcast.
Yeah, no, seriously, I don't either. Mean, that's a really good point.
Who cares?
Right.
I guessed
that the router or the modem is sending out a temporary connection, and when you break the connection, you need to re-sign it.
Basically, yes, except it's coming from this. It's actually coming from the other end. Comcast, Earthlink sends you a lease.
I see.
To use an IP address,
right?
Which is dynamically changed. DHCP, dynamic hosting, something, something.
Oh,
so
you almost tripped the geek alert, but
I
you
know,
didn't.
I
you,
did.
Under
I,
the radar.
I backed out of it very, very eloquently.
But, you know, so I guess what I was just amazed at is that it's a generational thing. I cannot send my parents an email with a single link for them to click on
right.
without getting an email back asking me what I sent them and what they should do with it. And my 10, almost 11-year-old can actually reconnect to the wireless network. That, to me, is astounding. And I think that's the Mac kids and the PC kids are, they're just going to be light years ahead of us. Because how old were you when you started using a computer officially?
I guess, I don't know.
I was in late 20s.
Yeah.
Really I mean, I'd had some computer room time with a couple of real geeks in the old days. But watching a Snoopy calendar get printed out in X's and O's. And it was not until the Mac SE did I really jump in on that.
Now, that makes me wonder, because I know you did a little research on software shareware available.
Yeah.
Entering into our widgets category or shareware pick of the week.
This has come from a request from a few clients that have really become concerned with their kids surfing the web. And they come to me and they say, how do I control this surfing? And I had to investigate a little bit. And I wasn't 100% happy with the results. But the one that kind of really caught my eye was a web browser called bumper car. And this is a browser that for all intents and purposes looks like a browser you and I use. The only difference is if you go to click on something, there are some warnings. And you could not get past the warnings unless your parent was there to say. So in other words, you're free to surf until you hit something that clearly might have some adult content in it.
Right.
And I would say that for, you know, 10 years old and younger, it's probably worth the extra hassle of those first few weeks of them getting it up and running and getting a lot of warnings. But I think for, you know, if you especially you, you know, you're leaving Jack alone. Pop-ups are coming up, trigger words. In fact, my nephew was very innocently ordering Wet Willy skateboard stuff. You know, he's a 10-year-old kid. He goes online. He's got a gift certificate. And he wants to go out and get something. Wet Willy, you can only imagine, what he saw that day changed his life forever, and his parents couldn't do a thing about it.
Right.
And the other product is a shareware product called Kids Go Go Go, and that is not a browser, but it is...
a blocker.
A blocker. Thank you, Henry. It's a blocker, and it blocks almost all of the harmful sites. And that's, again, Kids Go Go Go, and I believe it's a $30 program.
And if you want to just, you know, as we have stated many times, just Google these names if you want to find out. And for Kids Go Go Go, it's just Kids Go Go Go, but string it as one word, no spaces, and it'll come up right at the top of your Google search.
And just...
What was the one before? Well,
Bumper Car is definitely $29.95 to buy, and it's made by Softpedia. And that's the name of the software company. And the Kids Go 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 price, you and I think we said it was $30 right?
Yeah.
So there you go. That's our widget.
That leads dovetails directly into our kind of emptying the trash. Because I think that, you know, it has surprised me just in thinking about the show about, you know, the Apple platform, you know, before their stock price even hit, you know, $4 a share, in the early 90s, you know, they were all but forgotten by many people in the world.
Yeah.
And the only thing that kind of kept them afloat was their ties to the educational market. And
right.
I think it's interesting, just as I kind of thinking about it, I mean, I've had people ask me about spyware and blocking software for the Mac. And I looked into it myself. And
there's hardly anything out there that's reasonable.
Or pathetic. And
right.
If you go to the websites that you know, make it for PC and for Mac.
Yeah.
Just, you know, there's all these kind of amazing sounding things for the PC. And,
yeah.
And I'm sure, I mean, it's a marketplace thing, but I do think that it just, there's some kind of contradiction going on where Mac being kind of the hipper, more, you know, enlightened platform seems to have kind of avoided this issue sometime. And my guess or my feeling is that this is going to change. I think that now that Apple has really starting to make some headway into a direction that who knows where it's going to lead, I think they are going to really take on, you know, children and kids in the Mac.
Well, and I'll tell you what I'd like to have it be, which would be that I'm signing up multiple users, and I'd say Jack, age 3, and some way that you can decide that these are age-appropriate restrictions for a 3-year-old, just like they can rate other software. And I'm not trying to get into V-chipping. I'm just mm-hmm. saying a no-brainer. I have a 10-year-old. What's appropriate for a 10-year-old? Their desktop mm-hmm. is now 10-year-old restricted instead of having to go through Bumper Car, all these other things.
That's a really smart idea. And that's the
Dear
way you
should... Dear Steve Jobs.
Exactly.
From
the Mac guys. You had a podcast of the week that was relating to children.
And my podcast of the week...
Harry Potter?
Oh, yeah. Why don't you ask me that again?
And I believe, Chris, you had a podcast of the week you wanted to add.
This is a new category for us. It's a podcast that does not exist yet. But my daughter, Sierra, who's 13, is an avid Harry Potter fan. And we got to talking, and she knows what we're doing with the show. And I turned to her and I said, what about a Harry Potter podcast? Wouldn't that be kind of cool? So she kind of got excited about it and was going about trying to figure out what the content would be, and we'll have to get back to you in a couple of weeks. I think she might actually be recording her first podcast for All Things Harry. So there you go. That's actually maybe a good name, All Things Harry.
Yes, it is.
All right.
All right. Any mail this week?
Yeah, we got some interesting mail this week. And our first letter is from Cody Hansen, creator of Vinyl Podcast, and also a past guest, actually our first special guest in our special edition show. From Cody. Hey, thanks. Just listened to the show. It sounded great. Thanks again for the opportunity. I put a post on my and links on my site as well. This is coming from a friend of mine who heard that we were doing this, and she checked in. She's not very techie, but she said, love what you are up to. Kisses and abundance abound. That's from Elizabeth. And this is from a listener named Garrick, who said, Chris, thanks for the interview with Cody from the Vinyl Podcast. It sounded great, which is why I'm writing this. I've been struggling with a Skype recording solution for a while now. And so have we.
So have we.
That's all I can say.
And continue to struggle.
And this last one I just want to read. It's from the over 70 crowd. This is from my mother-in-law. And she went to the, I guess she went to the Blogspot, and this is what she wrote. Whew! Or whoo! What does W-H-E-W spell?
Phew!
Phew!
Whew!
Whew! You'll have to clue me in on your latest creative venture when here. I've just become aware of this newest word, blog, and I'm quite sure I'm not willing to spend extra time in front of my computer, but love your energy. And if you can persuade me differently, I would love to know what 70 is thinking. Anyway, I can't wait to see you.
Well, I'm so glad that that came up because my rebuttal, my system conflict this week.
Oh yeah,
is really to make Chris's mom had sent a message to Chris, complaining about the use of foul language by Hank on My Mac Guys podcast, and I just wanted to make a public apology to Chris Ragazzo's mother, and I'm sorry that if I'd said anything that offended you, and it's not going to stop me from I'm not going to curtail my language in any way.
Yes.
But I know there are times when the use of vulgar language is kind of you actually think about it for a brief second. Sometimes it's just spontaneous, and that's what I'm not going to try to fight with because I'm barely comfortable even sitting in this room making a recording. But there are times when I think you actually do make a choice, and those times I'm going to be more conscious of it. And I applaud you for pointing that out to me, Ms. Ragazzo.
Wow, and Mom, that was completely unrehearsed, and I have to say I never thought Henry would apologize online or in writing about that. But and I think my ears have been open, and I can safely say that our Mac Kids show is 100% foul language free, and really, I don't plan on any of our other shows to have any kind of prerequisites or warnings. We like to have free form,
and
free flow.
I think we may be over time in the show, but do we need to check in with Don McAllister or no?
You know, it might be. Let's take a look in the files and see if we got something from Don.
Right. Well, if we find something, here's Don McAllister, our foreign correspondent, live from Liverpool.
And if not, this is Chris.
And I'm still Hank.
And we are My Mac Guys.
So there! I won't grow up.
Coming up on show 10. Hello, is this Don?
It's the very real Don from Liverpool.
Plus, the simplicity of iPhoto versus the complexity of Photoshop. The great debate.
You've been listening to
My Mac Guys.
My name is Henry.
And I'm Chris.
And all contact information can be had at one fantastic website, and that is mymacguys.blogspot.com.